This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Donald Trump hosted his first official state visit of a foreign leader this week. He hosted the man that some call the Trump Whisperer, French President Emmanuel Macron. The two men have formed a fascinating political friendship, but they don't see eye to eye on critical global issues such as the Iran nuclear deal, the war in Syria, and climate change. So what does Macron hope to get out of this visit, and what can Trump gain? Here's Emmanuel Macron addressing a joint meeting of Congress today.
Europe and the United States must face together the global challenges of this century. And we cannot take for granted our transatlantic history and bonds. At the core, our Western values themselves are at risk.
That's French President Emmanuel Macron addressing a joint meeting of Congress today. And you can join the conversation. If France's president has Donald Trump's ear, what do you want Macron to tell him? And what would you like to see coming out of this first ever official state visit hosted by President Donald Trump? Joining us now is Susan Glasser. She's staff writer at The New Yorker and former foreign policy editor at Politico. She's with us from Washington. Susan, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I'm seeing here that Emmanuel Macron, we heard in that tape before Congress today that, you know, while he's talking about not taking our transatlantic history for granted, he also had some pretty choice words for the United States and nationalism.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, he's just wrapping up the speech right now, and it was an extraordinarily unusual address to a joint meeting of Congress, both the House and the Senate there together. After 2 days of holding hands with President Trump and kissing each other on the cheeks, he came out and he gave basically a full-throated rebuke to Trumpism just down Pennsylvania Avenue, not only referring to nationalism, making a huge case for the United States returning to the Paris Climate Accord that President Trump withdrew from, rebuking him about trade wars, saying that France will not withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, making the case to Trump why he should not either. And, you know, you just have a sort of remarkable spectrum, right, of a French president, a young, energetic 40-year-old French president addressing Congress in English and basically making the case for the multilateral system and the world order that America has built but no longer seems to want to lead.
Okay. So, Susan, then, I mean, help us understand what is Emmanuel Macron's goal then for this official state visit? Because so he has these strong words for President Donald Trump before a joint meeting of Congress, but they seem to have a fairly friendly political relationship. And at the beginning of his visit, he makes the tactical decision to do an interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News. So he's speaking to Fox News viewers rather than saying choosing CNN. So what is Macron really trying to accomplish here?
Well, you know, I think it's an excellent question. There's a couple things to remember when thinking about that. Number one, Donald Trump is extremely unpopular in France, as he is throughout Western Europe. I mean, we're talking like 90% unpopularity. And so it's an extremely politically risky move for President Macron, which explains some of the tough messaging and implicit rebuke of Trump in the speech today. At the same time, the United States, of course, is the most important relationship for France, and you know, it's not something you can just ignore. And I think that you know, there is a benefit, an opportunity, if you will, that Macron saw. President Trump does not have a very strong relationship with the two women who lead America's other two closest allies, Theresa May in the United Kingdom and Angela Merkel, who will be here on Friday for a much less fanfare-filled visit to Washington, right? So Macron had this opportunity to sort of be the designated European interlocutor with President Trump. He seized upon it. And I think, you know, French have always had this sort of tradition of realism in foreign policy, and I think they're making the calculated political bet that the French public will understand that this is something that Macron needs to do, even if we don't always agree with each other at the moment on policy. However, I did speak with French diplomats before the visit, and basically they said, we are terrified of this. It's a very, very risky threading the needle.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so let's talk about then one of the one of the points at which that Macron and Trump do not see eye to eye, and that's vitally important both for the United States and for Europe. So I want to play some tape here. I'm talking specifically about the Iran nuclear deal. And here is Macron during a press conference yesterday saying that France wants to work on a deal with Iran. And he outlined four topics that need to be addressed regarding the Iran nuclear deal.
The first one is to block any nuclear activity of Iran till 2025. This was feasible thanks to the JCPOA. The second is to make sure that in the long run there is no nuclear Iranian activity. The third fundamental topic is to be able to put an end to the ballistic activities of Iran in the region. And the fourth one is to generate the conditions for a solution, a political solution, to contain Iran in the region, in Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq, and in Lebanon.
So that's obviously a translator translating the words of French President Emmanuel Macron on Iran and its nuclear program. On the other hand, President Donald Trump warned Iran about implementing the use of their nuclear program. Again, this is in the same press conference with Macron yesterday.
They restart their nuclear program, they will have bigger problems than they have ever had before.
Susan Glasser, I don't see any headway being made here between the Trump whisperer and the president himself.
Well, you know, it was always going to be an uphill lobbying thing. I mean, Donald Trump has a very interesting pattern of, you know, wanting to be liked by these fellow world leaders, saying what he feels will please them when he's meeting with them or on the phone with them. But, you know, he reverts to certain real views that he has expressed for a long time, often on policy issues, whether it's trade, for example. Remember, he gave the speech to the economic leaders in Davos, right, and he sounded like one of them, but came back and imposed his trade tariffs nonetheless. And I think on the Iran deal, he's been very consistent since the campaign.
Yeah.
Worst deal ever, doesn't like it, finding a way around it. He's had a series of sort of kick the can down the road, right? Decisions first to decertify the Iranian compliance with the Iran deal, even though international inspectors say they have in fact complied with the terms of it, but not yet to officially do anything. So he faces this new deadline in May 12th. That's why Macron is here. It's why Merkel is here. Their number one priority is lobbying him on the Iran deal. I don't believe fundamentally Trump is ever going to at least publicly admit that he has changed his mind about the nuclear deal. So the question is, can the Europeans come up with something where they argue that they are addressing, or at least might have the prospect of addressing, some of the things that are not in the nuclear deal?
Yeah. So can I just jump in here, Susan? Because this gets a little confusing at times, right? Because it seems as if Macron was proposing the possibility of a new agreement, a new Iran agreement that would address the Trump administration's concerns. But on the other hand, you know, Tehran is saying that the deal, this current deal, isn't up for negotiation. And I'm seeing here that the European Union's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, is saying today that Europe is going to stick to the existing Iran deal, distancing herself from the French proposal. So exactly what's going on here? Is Macron deliberately going out on a limb?
Well, look, no, he's trying to thread the needle. And by the way, just to be clear, Macron, in his speech to Congress just now, said the same thing that Federica Mogherini said. They're all saying it, which is, we're not going to pull out of the existing nuclear deal. What Macron is saying is, we're going to try to enlarge it. We're going to try to add on to it with a new set of agreements or conditions that we're imposing on Iran that deal with things that are not in the deal. And so that's his strategy, is to say, don't blow up the deal that exists, but go ahead and layer onto it with other agreements. Now, as you pointed out, it's very unlikely that Iran is going to agree to any of these additional terms that Europe and the United States might put before them, right? And so that's number one. Obviously, the Obama administration, if they could have gotten an agreement on a forever ban on Iranian testing of nuclear things, they would have done so. They weren't able to do that. That's why the deal sunset. Same thing on ballistic missiles. They weren't able to get that in the original deal. But that's Macron's strategy. He's not saying, well, we're going to go along with Trump and France is going to pull out of the Iran deal. He's saying, no way, we're sticking with what's existing, but we're going to try to keep negotiating nonetheless.
Yeah. Let's take a quick call here. Brooke is calling from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. You're on the air, Brooke.
Hi, Meghna. I was just wanting to make a comment on Macron's choice to do the interview with Fox News. I think that most of us who recognize the issues with Donald Trump and the French people recognize that if he does want to speak to Trump and speak to Trump supporters, that's really the forum that he has to do it in if he wants to be effective.
Right. Speaking directly to some his most ardent supporters who frequently watch Fox News. Brooke, thank you so much for your call. Susan, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I think she makes an excellent point. You know, one thing about President Trump is that, you know, he is in some weird way, very, very transparent, right? We have this access to this Twitter feed of his. We have more, in a way, unfiltered access to what the President of the United States is watching on TV and thinking and being exposed to than really ever before. And it's pretty darn clear that, you know, being on Fox News is one of the fastest ways to speak directly to President Trump and those around him. And if you're lobbying President Trump, as President Macron is, that was probably smart media strategy on his part. But again, it points out the risks, right?
Yeah.
You're only speaking to part of a very divided America. And it's particularly ironic because on policy issues, of course, Macron and really the mainstream of French politics is much more aligned with the Democratic Party in the United States today than with the Republican Party.
Susan, I want to talk to you for a minute about the actual relationship between these two world leaders. And let me just play a couple pieces of tape here. This is from yesterday. First of all, during a state luncheon in Washington, where President Macron praised the cooperation between the U.S., France, and other Western nations for the past 70 years.
An economic, financial, political order has been put together after the Second World War. Is it perfect? Probably not. Can it be improved? Definitely. Have we seen anything better? I do not think so.
Again, that's Emmanuel Macron through an interpreter. President Trump did express his affection for President Macron. This was also at the White House yesterday.
We do have a very special relationship. In fact, I'll get that little piece of dandruff for a little piece. We have to make him perfect. He is perfect. So it is really great to be with you and you are a special friend. Thank you.
And that's the president, President Trump, picking a what he said was a piece of dandruff off President Macron's suit there. Susan, I mean, you know, I started this conversation with you referencing the fact that some folks call President Macron the Trump whisperer. I mean, is that is that an accurate description of the kind of relationship they have?
You know, he has seemed to read President Trump and to see how you can get some of what you want more clearly and more artfully than many of his other world leader compatriots, especially in Europe. You know, some of the Europeans really have not hit it off with President Trump. Angela Merkel, for example, he doesn't like being lectured to. This man loves a good military parade. He loves a red carpet. That's exactly what Macron rolled out for him last summer in France for the Bastille Day. And, you know, I think, again, you know, French officials are very well aware that this is a risky political move for someone like President Macron. You know, President Trump has a long history of saying what people want, but not necessarily delivering. And Macron has to go back with something concrete. I'm still not sure what that is. It's not getting a lot of attention, but I was told even before the visit that they had agreed not to put out the traditional joint statement that would occur in such a formal state visit because there are so many substantive disagreements on policy issues. So I think it's a very legitimate question for French people to ask, which is what exactly their president has gotten out of coming here to the United States and holding hands with Donald Trump.
So then the flip side to that, let's ask, what does President Trump stand to gain from this visit? What do you think?
Well, that is also a good thing. Well, number one, I think, again, he loves being flattered, and he loves the appearance that he is the preeminent leader on the world stage and that he matters and that even, you know, a young, vibrant, handsome young leader of France who disagrees with him on policy is coming to pay homage to him. And so this definitely plays into Trump's grand narrative of himself as a world leader. And that's something that certainly pleases his vanity and is probably good for him politically. I have to say, up until today, we'll see how people cover the speech to Congress. But this has been some of the best publicity, frankly, of Donald Trump's presidency. That he's gotten for this state visit.
Yeah, and so, but I'm also wondering, I mean, we've seen time and again that in President Trump, here's a man who really does value deeply his personal relationships, possibly to a fault, right? But if the exercise, the diplomatic exercise of this state visit does strengthen his personal relationship to Emmanuel Macron, I mean, I keep thinking about you saying that, like, Macron's trying to thread the needle here. What if he does that successfully? I mean, could that bear fruit down the road? Could Macron be the fulcrum around which Europe does get the United States, perhaps, to adjust its very hardline stance on some of these key issues?
Well, you know, I wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket.
Your sigh says everything.
I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, how should I respond? And I, you know, I think you have to be very realistic about President Trump. This, so far, I think, has been playing out very much as I expected it to. It's fascinating to watch the personal chemistry between them. And I do believe that already President Trump has shown, you know, he called NATO obsolete on the campaign trail, but he has not blown up NATO, quite the contrary. You know, you could argue that he's been useful.
Yeah.
To NATO in getting more defense budgets higher across Europe.
I guess the answer is we'll have to see, right? Susan Glasser, staff writer at The New Yorker and former foreign policy editor at Politico, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is On Point.